Welcome to the Truth Pulpit with Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Hello again, I'm Bill Wright. It is our joy to continue our commitment to teaching God's people God's Word. Today, Don is continuing with the second part of a message we started last time. So let's get right to it. Open your Bible as we join Don now in the Truth Pulpit.
Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. So there's this new spiritual relationship to which your heart testifies in agreement with the Holy Spirit that this is a reality about you. There's a power at work in you that has changed things. Romans 8, verse 14. For all, actually start in verse 13. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. There is a new relationship there. Verse 15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. It's a term of intimacy with which we address God. It's the sense is, dear Father. There's a reverential love that is in place. And so in verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Beloved, true Christians have been given a new relationship with God. Stay with me right here, beloved. The fundamental disposition of a true Christian, which grows over time, is this. It is a disposition of trust in God, of confidence in Him, of a family relationship with Him that is rooted in reconciliation, as opposed to one that fears Him simply because He's going to judge you, or as is true of some of you sitting in this audience today, it just pains me no end to see it written on your faces of utter, complete indifference to the things of which we're speaking. A true Christian has a sense of confidence, of love, of a desire for God that sees something in Christ of love and welcome and acceptance that he desires, rather than this alienation, indifference, coldness, hostility, whatever you want to use to describe it. Stated differently, beloved, a true Christian has intimacy and access to God that's not true of an unbeliever. I haven't forgotten where I'm at. I know exactly where I'm going. Just waiting for you to catch up with me in the discourse here. A true Christian has intimacy and access to God. 1 John 3:1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. There is something in the heart of a true Christian that knows that. Now listen and pay attention to me very closely here, beloved. That assurance may not always be very clear in your mind. It may be mixed with a lot of doubt and questions. Your love for God may falter at times. But the question is, do you have a spiritual relationship with God? Is there something within you that is conscious of God as a Father who loves you as God, as a Father who has reached out to you in His Son, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in order to make peace with you, peace that you could not make with God, but that God could make with you. Once again, we see the issue is, has something been done to you, not about what you have done? Has something been done to you that gives you a sense of new life, new reconciliation, new relationship with God? If so, there'll be a simultaneous aspect in your heart alongside this, like a bunch of grapes. You know, it's not just one grape. There's a lot of grapes around that cluster together, and there are things that cluster together when we talk about these things. Clustered together with that awareness of a new relationship is an awareness that's shaped by gratitude and by a sense of earnestness. We all know, probably if we were to weigh it out, there'd probably be more on the side of the hypocrite than those that are truly earnest and genuinely saved. But in the true Christian, there's this sense of earnestness. No, this matters to me. Though none may go with me, still I will follow. Though others may run in the realms of sin, and I may have run in the realm of sin with them, I'm stepping out off of that track. I'm not running that race with those people anymore, because I must follow Christ in this spiritual relationship that God has given to me. And I'm grateful. There's this new life in me that is so joyful, that is different, that is distinct. And as we sing in the hymn, heaven above is softer blue, earth around is sweeter green, something lives in every hue that Christless eyes have never seen. There's a spiritual relationship that through which you see the world in an entirely different light, through a biblical light. And so, beloved, I ask you, how do you relate to God? Do you know the gospel's power as expressed in a relationship something like this, that was, I'm dead to what I used to be, I'm alive to these new things in Christ? Now, that leads us to a natural third point. We've asked the question, do you have spiritual life? Do you have a spiritual relationship? How do you view God? And look, for some of you that are of tender spirit, and your heart is aflame with the things of God, these things should be bringing great joy to you just about now, saying, I see these things in me. I'm a real Christian. I truly belong to Christ. My sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven when I die. And there's this bubbling fountain that just spews up like a geyser of joy in your soul. These are not things that at all discourage the true Christian at all. You know, these sometimes messages about assurance and different things, they can weigh you down and say, man, I don't measure up to that. We're talking about what your nature is like. We're talking about what pulsates in your heart, what blood goes through the chambers of your heart as you live day by day. Is it a spiritual blood or is it a natural blood? Is it a works-based, indifferent cold blood? Are you just a cold-blooded reptile on the face of the planet Earth as it pertains to God? Or is there a warmth pulsating through you? The Creator of heaven and earth is also my Heavenly Father, and I love Him for it, and I don't care who knows it. Those are the kinds of things we're talking about. So, do you have spiritual life? Do you have a spiritual relationship with God? Thirdly, do you have a spiritual purpose to life? Do you have a spiritual purpose to life? Because what we're going to see, again, from chapter 7, verse 4, is that true conversion transforms a man's life purpose and affections. True conversion transforms a man's life purpose and affections. Look at Romans 7:4 with me again. Likewise, my brothers, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ. You've got new life. So that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead. New relationship. Now, thirdly, look at this purpose clause here in verse 4. In order that. In order that. These things have happened to you for a purpose, for a transcendent purpose. A lofty purpose accompanies this spiritual life and relationship. And beloved, what's true of every true Christian that has ever walked on the face of the earth, in any country, in any culture, with any language, what's true of every Christian is that God had a purpose for saving them. And that purpose is that they would bear fruit for God. Look at it there in the verse 4. In order that we may bear fruit for God. There's a new purpose in life. God saves Christians so that they would bear fruit in their lives to His glory. Beloved, it's an entirely new purpose that governs affections and priorities. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, Romans 12, verse 1, he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. All to Him I owe. If you have new life and a new relationship, then there is a corresponding awareness that comes that this life has been given to me that I might live to the glory of God. Whatever that means in the circumstances, relationships, occupation that the Lord has given you, you realize that it's given to you so that you would bear fruit to His glory in the life that He has given to you. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. These are the most lofty, noble, magnificent themes that could ever engage the human mind. Nothing exceeds what we're talking about today in glory, in purpose, in clarity, and in their eternal significance. Nothing could be more searching to the depths and the very core center of who you are than what we're talking about right now. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, and notice how often in these scriptures that I point you to, the Spirit of God is right in the middle of it, in keeping with the whole way that we've approached this series. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. Glorify God in your body. That is your purpose in life now. Conversion produces in you a new purpose for life. Maybe you were going along and saying, I've got career aspirations that I'm going to meet, that I'm going to pursue. I want to, you know, and nothing wrong with what I'm about to say is a life desire, you know, but I want to be a mom. I want to be a wife and a mom. Well, good for you. Those are good desires, but they are not an end in themselves. It's not enough to live for being a mom and living for your kids, you know, parading your kids as proof of who you can be and what you are and how great you are through what your kids do, whether it's on an athletic field or, you know, in a song recital. No, beloved, no. No, the purpose that God gives to every true Christian is that they would bear fruit for Him. for His glory. May they forget the channel, seeing only Him. Glorify God in your body. And Paul says, goes back to that theme in chapter 10, verse 31 of 1 Corinthians, when he says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So, beloved, I ask you, do you believe the gospel? Do you know the gospel's power? Is there at work within you something that makes you aware that you have new life, a new relationship with God? And the question is that's consequent to that, right there in the verse that we're looking at, Romans 7, verse 4, is that these things are given to you so that you would bear fruit for God. My life belongs to Him. My life purpose, even if it occurs in obscurity and anonymity, is to give glory to God. That's why I live. That's my passion. That's my desire. That's what the true Christian says. That's what true power from the gospel works in the human heart. Is the glory of God the reason you exist? Do you know the power of the gospel? That's the question we're asking. Now look, the glory of God can be your purpose, absolutely. For the young mom, the wife, the single person, it's not about packing up and going on a mission trip. Very few people should give their lives to the pursuit of teaching the Word of God. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The question is, what has the gospel produced in you, these desires that your life, whether obscure or widely known, would be something that reflects glory back to the one who saved you in gratitude for His life and His death on your behalf? You know, some of you, and I love you for this, some of you manifest that desire for the glory of God in the quiet, simple way that you hold to the gospel in the face of opposition from your family or from your spouse. Some of you hold to it in the midst of a corrupt industry in which you work, and there's a lot of vulgarity and carnality and ungodliness, and yet, however you might struggle with it, you're conscious, I want to live for God here. I want to be faithful to God in the midst of this opposition. Some of you, in the midst of isolation and discouragement and chronic illness, clinging to the purpose to glorify God even when it seems like nothing's going forward to help you. That's what we're talking about. The glory of God becomes an animating force, ultimately the animating force in the life of a true Christian. This is what Scripture says. This has happened to you so that you would bear fruit for God. Do you know something about that motivation in your life? If you don't, you're not a Christian. No matter how many times you read your Bible, no matter how many prayers you say, but if there's something that is in you that says, oh, if my life would just bring glory to Christ, my life would be a success no matter whatever else happens, beloved, that's the mark of a true Christian. And that can be at life in the wriggling babe of Christ as much as it can in a valiant warrior like Tom Pennington, even stricken down. It can be a guy on the front lines. It can be a babe in the woods, animated by that same purpose that God produces in the life of everyone who's a true Christian. Do you know the gospel's power? Do you have a spiritual purpose to glorify God in your life? Finally, point number four. Do you have spiritual ability? Do you have spiritual ability? And I'll illustrate this and we'll go through this pretty quickly, I think. The fourth aspect that we see from Romans chapter 7, verse 4 about the true Christian is that there is a spiritual ability that is given to them in conversion. Look at it there at the end of verse 4 again with me, Romans chapter 7, verse 4. In order that, there's the purpose, in order that we may bear fruit for God. We may bear fruit for God. Think about what that's saying, beloved. God saves us in order that we may bear fruit for Him. That means that He imparts to us an ability to do that. Power comes upon you from outside, and you are given the ability, you are given grace to serve God in the body of Christ. Somehow, in some measure, look at Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. Paul says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Like 8 or 9 different aspects there, 8 or 9 different ways that people serve with different abilities within the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 says, to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So, beloved, when the Holy Spirit saves someone, He brings every Christian into the body of Christ, and He simultaneously imparts some kind of spiritual grace and ability to them that enables them to serve and to contribute to the life of the body of Christ. Now, let me give you some questions to ask yourself to see if that spiritual ability is in you. And it's not necessarily what you would think. Beloved, if you enjoy the fellowship of other Christians, that's the mark of new life. That's a spiritual trait, a characteristic that the Spirit gives to you. You find that you love these people despite their quirks and despite their difficulties. You find that you want to contribute somehow to their well-being. Even if it's just a simple word, a simple text, a simple gift, you want to contribute to them. That's a spiritual ability given from God to you to benefit the body of Christ with. Let's consider it a different way. True Christian wants to identify with God's people. He wants to identify with them even in the face, and especially in the face of opposition. I'll tell you a little personal story here. It's brief, but it makes the point. Another thing, in my early days as a Christian on the campus of Indiana University, there was an outdoor evangelist who was there week after week, year after year, and he was kind of fiery. He was very outspoken. He was pointing people to Christ. And he was constantly the object of derision. And before I was converted, I would walk by and kind of share in that revulsion against him, even if I didn't publicly express it in any way. But after I was converted, there was a time where he was preaching, and there was a pretty substantial group of dozens, if not scores, of people around him. And they were mocking him. I remember one homosexual man went up and assaulted him in a graphic way to try to silence him. It was wretched to see that happen. I remember standing there as a new Christian and all of this opposition raining down upon this man, and he courageously was speaking the truth to them in the best way he knew how. At one point he said, he was denouncing the sins of the world, and he said, if you know God, if you know Christ, you don't need these other things. And there was mocking of him. And in that moment, the new life that was given to me, shown in the desire to identify with the people of God, came almost reflexively and involuntarily out of my mouth. And I said, amen. And he said, who said that? And, you know, the moment of identification had come for me. I said, I did. And, you know, then things went on, the crowd dispersed, whatever. My only point is that before I despised this man, now I wanted to identify with him, and even more particularly, I wanted to identify with the message that he was preaching. There was an ability in me to do that that was not present, and a desire to do that that was not present before. Beloved, is there something of a spiritual ability in you that wants the body of Christ, that wants to identify, that wants to support the body of Christ, rather than living on the margins and seeing how little you can get by without? So understand, beloved, as we talk about these things, new life, new relationship, new purpose, new ability, spiritual life, spiritual relationship, spiritual ability. Understand this. And now I speak completely as a pastor to you to help you and to encourage you in every way that I possibly can. The evidence of these things may not be as clear in some people as they are in others. The sun sometimes shines through a lot of clouds that would otherwise obscure it. A baby is not as strong as an adult, but he does have life. The sun comes through even when it is being blocked by other things. And so, beloved, are you a Christian? Do you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do you know something of the power of the gospel as we've seen it here today? If so, if you know something of these things, if so, rejoice and give thanks to God for your salvation, because you are a real, true Christian, no matter how you may be faltering and failing along the way. Sometimes the best evidence of perseverance is shown by someone that continues on and gets up after many stumbles and is still walking before he stumbles again. This is not at all about perfection. This is about a principle of new life within you. If you're cold and indifferent to these things, I grieve over you. My heart just weeps inside me right now. For those that are like that, if, beloved, if these things have stirred you, troubled you, say, I think I need this, but I don't know, and I don't think I have that. Don't lose heart. Let this be that which prompts you to go to Christ directly yourself. He's promised to receive everyone who comes to him, and ask that gracious, loving, sovereign Lord to lead you to the truth. Let's pray together. Father, we've done our level-headed best in all of our weakness to preach your word in reliance on the Holy Spirit. And Father, many have listened in reliance on the Holy Spirit as well. We pray that as sovereign Lord over the gospel, that you would accomplish your purposes. And for those cold, resistant hearts, Father, may you bring the warmth of the love of Christ to melt the ice in their hearts, that they might turn freely and voluntarily to you. May you comfort and help the troubled seeker. May you give great grace of assurance to those who truly belong to you. All for the glory of God, all for the glory of Christ, all that we might bear fruit to the eternal praise of our holy God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's Don Green here on the Truth Pulpit. And here's Don again with some closing thoughts.
Well, thank you, Bill. And just before we close, my friends, I just want to let you know that this podcast is made possible for you by the generous support of many friends of our ministry. We're grateful for that. And if you have supported us, I want to say a special word of thanks to you for all that you've done to make this possible. And if you would like to join in the support of our ministry, you can do that so easily by going to thetruthpulpit.com. That's thetruthpulpit.com. You'll see the link to give, and you can add your support to the others who make this possible for us. Thank you for whatever you do, and whether you give or you don't give, know that our love and prayers are with you. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time as we continue to study God's Word together here on The Truth Pulpit.
That's Don Green, founding pastor of Truth Community Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. Thank you so much for listening to The Truth Pulpit. Join us next time for more as we continue teaching God's people God's Word.